We've been talking about the Holy Ghost on Tuesday nights. Amen? Come on, do you know you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you if you're born again? The Holy Ghost is on the inside. He's your comforter. He's your helper. He's your advocate. He's your, you know, he's your friend. Glory to God. But oftentimes we ignore him. We don't listen to him. We don't, you know, it's like that's the last resort. Has it come down to praying? Has it come down to talking to God? Has it come down to asking him when he should be our first, you know, go-to, right? So, so good. I remember so many times where the Holy Spirit just spoke things into our lives that just have made all the difference in the world. And it's usually not a big manifestation like, you know, you have goosebumps and you just see a cloud in the sky and a vision at night, you know, or whatever. It's usually not that. It's usually just an impression on the inside. But when you follow that, when you go with that, he leads you in certain ways, and it's just really incredible. And God uses different people. We're going to be in Acts chapter 13 to start. I remember when we were starting, when we started A New Beginning, many of you know the story, but we came out of a situation, and a group of people asked me to pastor, and I was going to shut the church down. They asked me to pastor, and I said, well, you know, we're going to have communion and shut the church down. And they said, no, we don't want to shut the church down. The pastor, the old pastor, was not the church. We're the church, and we want you to pastor us. And I just went, oh, I'm not sure about all that. And so we went praying for it for several months, right? And it came the time where I needed to make a decision about whether I was going to continue to do this or not. And God sent over Tom from Winthrop. I was at work, came home from work, and I'm looking in the driveway, and there's a car in the driveway, and I come inside, and there's Tom sitting on my couch. And he said, what's up? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I was at work today. I think he was drywalling at the time. I was at work today at lunch, and God told me I needed to come over here and talk to you. What's up? Right? The Holy Spirit spoke to his spirit that he needed to come over and talk. And he put some things into my heart and into my spirit that kind of solidified the start of what we've been doing for the last 25 years. You know, almost 26 years now. See, God is good, but he'll put things in your heart. Just somebody at lunch, at work, and God put something in their heart and they acted on it. And it was very influential in you know, everything that God has done through us. And so it's just thrilling. Amen? Just thrilling. But look in your Bibles and look to verse 1. It says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there was certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Very, very interesting, because as I've read and studied this and looked at it, there's some commentators that say that Paul and Barnabas, this church that was at Antioch, it was a main church. It was their main home church. You know, when they went out, they always came back to this church, and some say that Paul, came to that church and stayed in that church for something like 13 years before this happened. So he was in the church serving. He was in the church doing whatever God told him, probably teaching, probably doing all of the things that God, you know, spoke to him. But he was faithful in what he was doing. But at this time, I like this. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said. As they ministered and fasted. Well, how do you minister to the Lord? I believe, you know, Jesus had already gone to the cross, so they weren't doing the animal sacrifices. But they were offering prayers. They were praising God. They were worshiping God. They were, you know, calling out to him and praying to him and asking him what their direction and what they should be doing. And they were seeking God. See, you'll have more you'll have a better chance of hearing the voice of God if you're seeking Him. Right? So we have to dedicate ourselves to that. I want to hear from God. Well, it's not that difficult, but you have to listen. And you have to put yourself in a position to listen. It didn't say that they were ministering to the Lord and desiring a word from God that day. It said that they were ministering to the Lord and fasting. What does that mean? They were denying themselves. They weren't eating. They were, God, we're really seeking. You were serious about hearing your voice. And the thing about fasting is, and I've done different fasts at different times, fasting doesn't move God. But what fasting does is it shuts your sensitivity to the flesh down to where you're more open to hear what God is saying. Now, not all of us can go on a long period of fasting, but at special times, and especially when we need an answer from the Holy Spirit, it would be good for us to set aside some time and say, okay, Lord, whatever the Lord leads you to do. Some folks, they might just fast sugar. Some might fast everything except water for a while. But it's like the point of it is, Lord, what do you want me to fast? And I'm going to do something to tell my flesh that you're not in charge anymore, but I'm going to seek God because I want to hear His Spirit. And so when we're talking about dealing with the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the Holy Spirit wanting to use you. And we've said that the manifestation of the Spirit is for everyone to profit with all. But how do we get in a position where we can be used? And it's not just at church. It's home. It's work. It's wherever you are. Holy Spirit, help me to make decisions and help me to go forward. And I think He will. I think He does that. I think He wants to do that. But the point is, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm setting myself time. And one of the major things, especially for those that are filled with the Spirit, who have received their prayer language, and like when Kim was here, she said, you need to be praying much in the Holy Ghost. And so I'm sure that part of this prayer was praying in the Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul said later, he said, I pray in the Spirit more than y'all. I pray a lot in tongues. I pray a lot in tongues. Why? Because when I'm praying in tongues, I'm speaking directly to God. Nobody understands it, but I'm speaking mysteries or things that have been hidden that are now being revealed. I'm praying them out in the Spirit. So when we're spending time with God and we're saying, okay, God, I just want to minister to you right now. So I'm shutting my mind down. I'm shutting my flesh down. Father, I don't even know how to pray, but I'm just going to start praying in the Spirit. You just go off praying in your prayer language. And then you get quiet before God, and then He can speak. The Holy Spirit can speak. God speaks to you through the Holy Spirit. Let me say that one more time. God speaks to you through the Holy Spirit. That's the avenue and the time that we live in. But I'm thinking about this, especially at this time in our nation, right? How many know we're at kind of a critical time for our nation? The election's coming up, and now we've got Supreme Court justice to be put in place, and it's like, Holy Spirit, we need you. And so tonight, it's like, Holy Spirit, we're coming before you, and we're going to pray, we're going to seek you, because we really need to hear from you. We need to hear direction in our personal lives. We need to hear direction, in our church. We need to hear direction in our state, in our city, in our country. Holy Spirit, we really need to hear from you, because there's many other voices, right, speaking. And even in our own lives, can you just imagine, this... These guys were, in the church, and they were part of the leadership of the church. And can't you just imagine somebody say, hey, Paul, you're a pretty good teacher. You ought to be out on your own. Barnabas, I think you're better than the Simeon, and I think you should be the leader, and I think you should be this. And I feel like you're called to pastor. I feel like you're called to be an apostle. I feel like you're called to be a missionary. And the reality is we can't be influenced by somebody else's call. We have to hear the Holy Spirit on the inside of us to do what He's told us to do, right? And how does that come? That comes by you spending time with God and the Holy Spirit and God putting something on your heart to do, right? If He wants you to pray, pray. If He wants you to teach, teach. But you have to listen to that. But watch this again, verse 2. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said. How did He say? I don't know. Was there a tongue and interpretation? Was there prophecy that came from one of the prophets? Was it just spoken to somebody's spirit? I'm not sure. But all of those things are still available to us today, right? Because he's the same. Now watch, this is really good. Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. In other words, the call was there the whole time. And they were in the church the whole time. Their call, their eventual place that God wanted them to be was separated and out on the mission field, right? But the timing was that they weren't going to move until the Holy Spirit spoke. God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak into your life. God wants to give you direction. He wants to give you purpose. He wants you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He has a plan for you. Glory to God. He's still speaking today, but are we listening? Now watch this. And I think this is interesting. Then, having fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. And it doesn't really say how long this period was, but get the picture. They set themselves a time aside to fast and minister to the Lord. Then the Lord said something, and the Lord spoke to them. And so then they kept praying and fasting, and then they laid their hands on them. In other words, it's like we need confirmation, or we just need to, you know, pray on how to pray this out and how to, you know, go forward with this. But then it said they laid hands on them and sent them away. So it's good to be sent by the Holy Spirit. Now watch this, verse 4. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. So evidently the Holy Spirit told them to go, but He gave them the places that they were supposed to go. Isn't that nice? Lord, I don't know what to do. Well, do this first, and then I'll tell you what to do next. But we want the Holy Spirit speaking to us. It doesn't matter what our age is. It doesn't matter what our call is. It's Holy Spirit. We want to trust You that You'll speak to us. But if we want to be in a position for the Holy Spirit to speak to us, we've got to start setting some time aside to seek His face and say, Holy Spirit, I'm open to You. And even when I get an impression that this is what You want me to do, even if this road seems good to me, God, I'm not going to fully invest myself in that until I'm sure that I know that I know that this is where You're taking me. And then even in that, I don't know that God gave Paul and Barnabas the, here's what you're going to be doing for the next year. You're going to go to this town, this town, this town, this town. I kind of think it was more like this. Go down to this city. All right, you're here. Now go here. And when you're done with that, I want you to go over here. And that's how the Holy Spirit leads us. The Holy Spirit is going to lead us based on our obedience to what He's called us to. Right? So if the Holy Spirit says pray and you're not praying, He's probably not going to tell you the next step. We need the next step. So if He's saying pray and pray, how long until He says something else? Right? I'd rather be doing what God told me to do last when He comes than ignoring what He told me to do last and say, well, you know, it wasn't that hard, it wasn't that big a deal, God, so I just kind of ignored it. So we need to constantly be in that place where we're listening, and then the Holy Spirit will lead us step by step. Verse 5 says, and when they arrived at Salmas, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. That way they'd gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. So it's not like they were going, let's go through town and we're going to find a false prophet. That's not what a sorcerer. We need to find us a sorcerer. That's our plan. We're going to go find a sorcerer because, you know, that's just, we think, would be a good way to start. No, they went to the place where God called them, and then the Holy Spirit pointed out this individual to them. You know, even today in the church body, we have many voices saying many things. But we've got to come back to the place where we're listening to the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and then we're seeking God as, is this from you or is this not from you? Because I want to be correct with you. And He'll lead you, He'll guide you. Verse 7 says, it was who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymaeus, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the truth, away from the faith. So here you got a voice that's coming against the man of God who was called to preach the gospel to him, and this sorcerer, this false prophet, this one who's listening to the lies of the devil is coming out against him. And I'm sure it may have even been subtle. It may be he's whispering to this proconsul behind their backs type of thing. But watch now, this is so good. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked at him intently. In other words, there came a point where Paul said, this is enough of this. I am discerning what's going on here. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of the Holy Spirit. Now, we know he'd been filled with the Holy Spirit, but this says he was full of the Holy Spirit. Now here's the point that I think is really important. It's in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, and be being filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's a continual process that we have to go through or continue in order to stay filled with the Holy Ghost. So Paul, he came to this place because they'd prayed, they'd fasted, God sent them out, but he continued to pray, he continued to seek God, he continued to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit spoke to him because he was filled. Are you getting it? So we need to stay filled. We need to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. And how do you do that? Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll come back here. But go to Ephesians chapter 5, and let's look at this. Because I think this is really good and awesome. And I wish I could tell you that every day I do this all the time. I never back off of this. I'm always constantly doing this. But I'd be lying to you, and I don't want to do that. But I should be. I said I should be. And so should you. Right? Look at verse 18. Well, let's go to verse 17 because I think it's applicable. It says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. How many here tonight would say, I want to know what the will of the Lord is? I want to walk in the will of the Lord. You know, we've got some decisions that we're making as a family, and it's like, Lord, we want to know your will in this. We don't want to be outside of your will. We want to be in the perfect will. But watch what he says. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And that's in the Greek, the word filled there is a verb tense that's ongoing. In other words, be filled, but continue to be filled. Be being filled, be being filled, be being filled. Well, how do I do that? Well, I'm glad you asked, because the next verse kind of tells you. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So the first step is that you have to speak to one another. We should be speaking to one another about the things of God. Look at it said in back in Acts chapter 13, and they were all together, and they as they were ministering to the Lord and fasted, what were they doing? One of the things that they were doing is they were speaking to one another. Come on. Speaking to one another. What do you speak to one another? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So collectively you do that, but also individually you do that. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You want to stay filled with the Holy Spirit? Spend time in the Psalms. Spend time in Him. Spend time in the Word. Spend time meditating on the things of God. And you say, well, you know, I know, Pastor, you're a worshiper, and I know others that are worshipers that get up here on Sunday or Tuesday, and they're worshipers, but I'm not a worshiper. That's not true. All of us are called to worship the Lord. And part of worship is bowing down and saying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And again, that's really easy to do when things are going well. But when you've got situations in your life that are tough, it's a little bit harder to submit to the will of the Lord. But God, I don't want to do that. But Lord, I do want to punch him. Right? Lord, I do want to run. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to be with this person anymore. I don't want to love them anymore. I don't want to go to that place. But if we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we have to say, Lord, it's not my will, but it's your will that I want done. I hope you're getting something tonight. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In other words, it's good for us to get together, and I don't think that we have to quote the psalms over each other all the time, but at the same time, if we're together and we're around Christian believers, there should be an element in that of speaking of the things of the Lord. You know, this is what the Lord's doing. This is what the Lord's saying. Or I read my devotion today. This particular verse, you know, I just wanted to share that with you. Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever done this? Right? Because you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to continue to be filled. And singing in your heart and making melody in your heart to the Lord. How do you do that? You just begin to sing. And in other places it talks about singing with a new song. Singing, what's that? You know, I love you, Lord. You're so awesome to me. Lord, I love you. You're so good to me. I worship you, Lord. You've been good to me. I give you praise and glory and honor. I love you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And you begin to do that with one another, right? You just begin. It doesn't have to be rehearsed. It can be. You can go right to the Psalms and begin to sing them. I've told this story before, but I'm going to demonstrate it to you right now. There was a day where Renita and I, we were going to Rhema, and a bunch of us were going out water skiing on this particular day. Well, we lived in Tulsa, and the lake that we were going to, that one of the kids' parents had brought, bringing the boat and everything, but it was like a four-hour drive or a five-hour drive. And so we had to get up early to get there early enough to spend the day water skiing. And so I worked swing shift. It was on a Saturday, but I worked swing shift. So I worked until, you know, midnight, got home about 12:30, and we were going to leave like at 2 in the morning or something like that. And so I thought, well, you know, I'll just spend some time with the Lord. You know, I might fall asleep, but I'm just going to spend some time with the Lord. So I got into the Psalms, and I started singing them. And well, Renita says she lives in a musical because I sing all the time anyway. But I was singing the Psalms. And so I just flip open to them, and right now I just came to Psalm 70, and it says this: Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life. Let them be turned back and confused Who desire to hurt, let them be turned back because of their shame. Who say, aha, aha, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And so for an hour or so, I was doing this, just singing one psalm after another psalm after another psalm. Well, when they got there, they came and knocked on the door. It's time to for me to go. I couldn't talk to them because I was so filled with the Spirit of God that I can remember distinctly going and sitting in the back seat of the car and just kind of sitting there like, you know. And for several hours, because I was in the presence of God, I could not speak. See, what was I doing? I spent time filling myself up in the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Holy Ghost. What are we talking about tonight? We're talking about putting ourselves in a position to be able to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying so that we can be used by Him to accomplish what He wants us to accomplish. Right? And the more time you do this, the better off you'll be. And anybody can do that. You say, well, I don't sing like you. Well, it really doesn't matter, because go back to Ephesians chapter 5 and look at this. It says, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's your heart that He's concerned with. He's really not concerned with your vocal ability. Right? Well, I don't sing. I can't carry a tune in the bucket. Well, first of all, I think that's a lie, because I think we were all created to sing. And God will use you, and God will give you the lyric. And really, you know, in the words of Karen Carpenter, I don't care if it's not good enough for anyone else to hear, just sing a song, right? And the reality is that we can get to the place where we are constantly, if you don't, but I don't have the words. Go to the Psalms and start singing the Psalms. And let that become swelled up in your heart. Because what you're doing is you're communing with the Lord. You're ministering to the Lord out of His Word. Right? And it's creating an atmosphere where God can speak. He wants to speak. Hallelujah. Some people, well, Pastor, I've heard you talk about being used by the Holy Ghost and all of this and the manifestations of the Spirit and God using different people in different ways. That's all awesome, but how do I get there? This is how you get there. I'm convinced of this, that the more you pray in the Holy Ghost, the more you sing the Psalms and sing in the Spirit. Paul said that. He said, I pray in the Spirit and I sing with the Spirit. I pray with my understanding and I sing with my understanding. I think both of those are very valid. But the more you do that, it just seems like the more sensitive you are to hear. So there's two aspects to that. I'm denying my flesh and I'm seeking God. I'm beginning to speak into the things of God. Now watch this, because I think this is important. Most of the time, you don't feel like doing what I'm talking about. Most of the time, your body, your life, everything will crowd this out of you. In other words, it's like you're getting ready for bed, and you think, you know, I'm just going to spend a few minutes with the Lord. I'm going to open the book of Psalms, and I might sing a little bit to Him. Your body's going to be going, I don't think so. You're tired. Do that in the morning. Right? Come on, just get some sleep. You'll be better off in the morning doing that. And the reality is you wake up in the morning and you go, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do that. I'll do that later. Right? And you procrastinate and you don't do it. So it's, if we really want to start hearing from God and hearing what He's saying, then we have to begin to start disciplining ourselves to be in a position where we can be filled with the Spirit. Does that make sense to you? Come on. I want the Holy Spirit's power. I want the Holy Spirit speaking. I want the Holy Spirit activity in me. Now watch this. This is really good. In verse 20, it says, this is the second part of being filled. giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. Submitting to one another. What? Part of being filled with the Spirit is submitting to one another. And what does that mean? That means that as God is using you, I'm going to place myself under you in order for me to receive what God is using you for. Right? But this giving thanks. You know, we have one day a year where we call it Thanksgiving, but for Christians, every day ought to be Thanksgiving. We ought to become more thankful than we've ever been. I've noticed in myself that I can get really depressed if I'm not thankful. Right? Because things go wrong. Have you ever noticed that? Things go wrong. People come into your life. People go out of your life. Things don't happen. Cars break down. You know, all of the things that life can throw at you. But you have to learn to become thankful. It says here, and again, this is the Word of God that I'm preaching out of tonight. And if it's the Word of God, then we've already said, Jesus, you're my Lord. So I'm submitted myself to this. He says, giving thanks always for all things to God. Lord, I'm not thanking you because my car broke down necessarily, but I'm thanking you that you're with me in this situation. You provided me this car, you'll provide me another car, but I just want to become a thankful person. I want to thank God for everybody in my life, those that bless me and those that irritate the fire out of me. I want to thank you for all of them. Why? Because those that bless you will help support you, but those that irritate the fire out of you, God will use to show you your heart because He's got some adjusting that He wants to do. So we can become thankful for everybody. Thankful, thankful, thankful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we live in America. Thank you, Lord, even in the midst of the chaos that's our nation right now. Lord, I can thank you for that. I can thank you, and I want to live a thankful life. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And practice being thankful. You want to be filled with the Spirit, you've got to be a thankful person. You've got to continually center yourself back on God. In all things, be thankful to God. In all things, be thankful to God. So what are you going through tonight? What's going to happen when you leave here tonight? Are you going to be thankful? If you want to be filled with the Spirit and continue to have that infilling happening to you, then we have, you know, it would behoove us to do what He says. Right? What's the will of the Lord? The will of the Lord is to do this. I don't know what the will of the Lord is. Well, let me tell you, it's this right here. You want to know what the will of the Lord is? It's right here. Do this. Do this. Do this, because then you'll know what the will of the Lord is. In fact, go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Glory, 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 glory. I think it's really important for us to be submitted to God. Now listen to what he says in verse 1. You've all read this before, right? But it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And another translation says it's your reasonable form of worship. That you present your body. In other words, God, I'm offering myself as a sacrifice to you. So, Lord, I'm laying myself down, and whatever you ask me to do, I'm going to do. And if it costs me everything, I'm going to submit to that. If it's not comfortable for me, but God, you're asking me to do it, I'm going to push through that and do it anyway. Come on. Because that's real worship. I said, that's real worship. When you bow yourself and submit yourself to the will of God, it's like this, and I know this is probably a very simple example or very maybe even funny, but you really want to cuss somebody out. You really, I mean, everything inside of you, that guy cuts you off and you really want to let him have it. You really want to, you know, use all the words that will describe how you're feeling right now. You just want to download on him. But something inside of you says, bless him. Right? Then you have to offer your right to use the words that you want to use and separate them with the words that God wants you to use and do it anyway. That's a sacrifice of praise, right? It's and the word here, now remember, this was a Jewish man who wrote this, so when he talked about sacrifices, it's kind of reverting back to the picture of all the animal sacrifices that had to happen in order for them to be forgiven and please. But he says here, you need to offer your bodies as a sacrifice, laying them down on the altar, saying, God, it doesn't matter what happens to me, as long as I'm pleasing to you, I'm going to do it. So if everybody leaves me, if I can't eat because I won't take the mark of the beast or whatever that is, I've already decided, God, I'm going to please you no matter what. If nobody likes it, if I lose all my friends, it doesn't matter. I'm going to follow you. Glory to God. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we want to be filled with the Spirit of God, we should be filled with what He said. We have to renew our mind to what God says. How many know that you all come to this place tonight based on the life that you've lived so far? Right? So even our way of thinking, even our pattern of belief is because of what we've lived so far. Right? Make sense? So what we have to do is we have to submit that before God and say, Lord, I think I know what the truth is, but if you show me something different than that, I'm not going to conform myself to the old way any longer. I'm going to be transformed because my mind has been renewed to your way of doing things, and I'm going to do that. Flesh, shut up. I know you don't want to, but you're going to do it anyway. Because a spirit man, or the Holy Spirit, is living and the Holy Spirit is guiding, is telling me to do it this way, we're doing it this way. And so we need to be in the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, letting the Word of God become our final authority. Right? Transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do you know the will of God? You meditate on the Word of God. You find out what God has said about it. Right? You get the Scriptures that talk about what the will of God is, and then you begin to say, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. And that's how you'll know that you know that you know that you know that you know what the will is, will of God is. So, back to Acts chapter 13. And we'll close in a few minutes. Acts chapter 13 and verse 9 again. And Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, looked at him intently and said, O full of deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, you will not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord. Now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. So he was full of the Holy Ghost, and when he saw by the discerning of spirits what was in that sorcerer, the Spirit of God said, here's now how you handle that. And so he knew what to say, when to say it, how to say it, and who to say it to, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that that should be our goal. That should be what we desire to have happen. Lord, I want to know when to say it. I want to know how to say it. I want to know where to say it. I want to know who to say it to. I want your word to come out of me so that it can be a blessing. And why did God point this person out and go to this extreme, because he was after the proconsulate's heart. He wanted that man. That man was hungry for God, and that man wanted to hear what the Spirit of God was saying. You hear what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, Holy Spirit, I need to hear from you. Holy Spirit, I need you. Verse 12. And the proconsul believed him when he saw that he had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Now when Paul and the party set to sail for Paphos, they came to Perga and in Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returned to Jerusalem. Watch this, this is so good. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue of the Sabbath day. And after reading the law and the prophets to the rulers of the synagogue, they said, "Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation, please say on." And then Paul stood up, motioning with his hand, and said, "Men of Israel, you who fear God, listen." And so the point is that when he got up, he was already filled with the Holy Ghost. So when he got up, the anointing was upon him to say something. And when he got up, he was able to take and extrapolate out of the word that was even presented to them on that day. He was able to preach that in a way that affected the hearts of all of those who were listening. So it's up to us to listen to the Spirit of God, but also to put ourselves in a position to hear. And the first way is to minister to the Lord and fast. In other words, God, I just want to spend some time with you. And our prayer life should not be so consumed with, God, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that. What am I going to do, God? You, right? But it should be, Lord, I just want to bless your name. I'm so thankful, God, that I have air to breathe. I thank you, Lord, that I was able to eat yesterday. God, I thank you for that I got up today. Lord, I just want to thank you. I want to praise you. I want to bless you. I want to just minister to you, Lord. You know, and you sing him a song, do whatever, but just get into his presence. Spend time with him. Shut the TV off. Discipline yourself. Begin to, you know, before you go to bed. I'm not talking about spending 10 hours, you know, every day, but what I am saying is spend time. Spend time. And the more you need to hear from him, spend more time. It's like, Lord, we all have the tenacity that, Lord, I'm not leaving here. I'm not leaving this place of consecration and dedication until I hear what you have to say, that I have clear direction on where to go. And it said, again, that they were there for like 13 years, and finally the Holy Spirit said, Now go. So don't get discouraged. Don't get impatient. But wait on the Lord. Trust the Lord. And he'll guide you. He'll take care of you. He'll make sure that you're hearing his voice. Amen? How many want to hear more from the Holy Spirit? So if you want to, then we need to begin to minister to him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I thank you that even as some are listening, God, you're speaking to them. Lord, I just speak to those that are discouraged, those that feel like giving up, those who are saying, what's the use? Even tonight, Lord, I speak to that. And Father, I just lift off of them in the name of Jesus that spirit of heaviness. And Father, I ask you to put on them a garment of praise. God, would you just pour out your spirit upon them tonight? I command the heaviness to leave their bedrooms in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you tonight for touching every person that's here. Those who don't know Jesus, just call out and say, I need a Savior. I need Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. Father, forgive me my sins. I receive Jesus as my Lord, and he'll bless you. He'll be with you. You have heaven to gain and hell to shun, because it's true that only those who know Jesus as their personal Savior will end up in heaven forever and ever. So trust that. Go with that. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.